Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick. We're here to start a new series of shows for this offseason today. It's called Recollections. It's memories of some non-star Ravens. They could be star Ravens, but just not at the very top tier of Ravens. They're not trying to get back and reflect upon their careers, and people have lots and lots of highlights. These are players who had a few less highlights, but still some memorable plays. And I want people to get involved in this and come up with players they'd like to talk about. The first one I'm going to talk about today is Laquan Williams, a Baltimore native. Here to talk about with me is Slava Cooperstein. Slava, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. How about you?
No complaints here. Things are well. I think I'm over the AFC Championship game loss finally. But anyway, we are where we are. And we're in the offseason. We're going to have some fun. So you selected Laquan Williams. What intrigued you about talking about him?
So, you know, First of all, I'm very proud of this selection because, you know, Laquan Williams, I don't think even qualifies as like a B tier or a C tier Raven. And that's really not to, you know, downplay him as a player. It's just, you know, he was an undrafted free agent. He was a fringe player. And, you know, when he was called upon to make a play, which is, you know, a couple of the plays we'll be talking about today, he made it count. And I believe he was rewarded with a Super Bowl ring, being on the Ravens the second year. But, you know, it all started with Laquan Williams being an undrafted free agent out of Maryland in 2011. And I think you mentioned he was a local Poly high school grad. So it was a feel-good story. Him along with Torrey Smith, you know, Terps coming to the Ravens. I think there was a lot of local pride with those two guys coming in.
Yeah, I guess if I remember, Torrey Smith was the year before. No, Torrey Smith was rookie in 11. Yeah, second round pick. All right. Yeah, obviously, it's always a big deal when a local player makes the Ravens. Malik Ham is a guy who hopefully will make the roster this next year. Is a guy who may bring some flexibility in terms of being able to drop the coverage and rush the passer. But Laquan, you know, Poly and Maryland is a good double to get back here. He had continued a streak of UDFAs who were making it the Ravens for a long time in there. I don't know if there were others in 2011. There might have been, but he continued it. And then, of course, he had that big role in that Monday night or Sunday night. I keep forgetting whether it was Monday or Sunday night win against the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was definitely a primetime game. You said it exactly right. He was tremendously important in that game. And sort of, you know, at that stage, I'm not sure if people, you know, depending on how old you are, you may or may not remember how intense that Pittsburgh rivalry was. I mean, really, you know, yes, there was some familiarity with the Steelers being in division rivals, but really in 2008, when Flacco arrived on the scene, really began a series of brutal games between us and the Steelers, including, you know, seasons in 2008, 2010, and 2014, where we would see them in the playoffs. So, you know, we would see them, you know, two to three times a year. And they were always well-fought, close games.
They had a number of consecutive three-point games. Now, this was not the exact heart of the streak, and I have to actually recall when that actually occurred. I think it was actually after this first I think it might have been the game we're going to talk about in a moment started the streak. But anyway, they had a number of consecutive three-point games. And in 2008, they lost all three games to the Steelers, twice during the regular season, yep, and then again in the AFC Championship. And that was a big function of that offseason, was trying to figure out how could they get better and beat this Steeler team. And then 2009, they came back and they had a win against the Steelers. And I'm trying to remember when it was. There's the Hushmanzada win. It was, I think, in 2010. I'm trying to remember the 2009 win. So they had two wins in three Flacco seasons coming into 2011. And of course, 2011, they destroyed the Steelers in the home opener 35-7, won the turnover battle 7-0. And I always say, if you want to go see the greatest games ever for the Mount Rushmore Ravens defenders, who are Suggs, Nada, I was going to forget one here, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. They had all were involved in, I believe, two or more turnovers in that game. But they all had spectacular games, and it was just a lot of fun to watch. But that was the first game. But then the Ravens came into the second game, and they needed to win it in order to secure the tiebreaker that would give them the AFC North.
Yeah, and the narrative even going into 2011 at that point was that, you know, Flacco and the Ravens were just sort of the little brother to the Steelers at that point. So this was a real opportunity not only to seize the lead in the AFC North, but also just to, you know, plant their flag in the ground as being the class of the AFC North. And it was, you know, a really tremendous game that, you know, typical of Ravens Steelers sort of games, it was going to come down to the final drive, which at that point brought Flacco and the Ravens deep in their own territory, having to march down the length of the field at about the 2 minute mark.
Yeah, 2:24 to go. They had 92 yards to go. And those are two numbers, by the way, that are really etched in Steelers fans' memory. If you look at the Steeler boards from about that era, you'll see 92 yards. That's what killed us. You know, it's 224 of that game against Baltimore. That's what lost us, the, you know, blah, blah, blah. They don't always talk about the fact that they went on to the playoffs and got Tebowed in the first round by Denver out there, which was actually pretty funny. Overtime game. Tim Tebow, who pretty much ran the football just about every down as he saw fit, threw a long touchdown pass to beat the Steelers in overtime.
And I think that was actually the first playoff game that had the modified rule that a field goal would not win in overtime. That if you got a touchdown, it would seal the game, but a field goal would not. And of course, Tebow too. I think Demaryius Thomas, stiff arming. I want to say Ike Taylor.
Clark? Okay, yeah.
I think it was Ike Taylor. He gave him the old combo breaker and went in the end zone. That was a great memory for me. But going back to this game, I think a lot of people remember this game for Flacco going deep into the end zone on the left side to Torrey Smith first, and Torrey just narrowly missing the catch. I mean, it went right past his outstretched fingertips. Mm-hmm. And if you listen to the Wired or whatever for this game, Suggs is out there coaching Torrey up and saying, like, look, we're going to need you again before this is all said and done. So, like, basically no time to feel bad for yourself. And, of course, Torrey catches in the end zone right after.
I still remember very well the Collinsworth commentary. It's NBC, so it must have been Sunday Night Football. This pegs it for me. But anyway, on the play to the left, he said, that catch has got to be made. It's not a simple catch, but this is a championship moment, and that catch has got to be made. And he was right, just beyond his outstretched fingertips. And it was one where he probably didn't quite get his body turned well enough, and it was a little bit more of a turn than would be typical on a reception, or would be easy anyway. But it was a catchable football, and one that I'm sure Torrey Smith regrets. When you go back to the huddle, the way Flacco describes it after the game, it was next play, next play. And, you know, he probably was thinking he'd have to go back to Torrey as well with the incredible threat that he'd already proved himself to be in that season.
Absolutely. I mean, of course, Torrey Smith, you know, the first three receptions he ever had were three touchdown bombs against the St. Louis Rams. And of course, he goes back to Torrey. Incidentally, you just reminded me, you know, was there anything worse than listening to Collinsworth during Big Ben's peak years? I mean, God, he just he just heaped praise upon Ben Roethlisberger like no one has ever heaped praise on anyone else before.
I never liked a lot of that slobbering. There has been a little of both ways. The guy I really like as an announcer who a lot of people are surprised by is I think Dan Dierdorf was just terrific. And he had some moments where he was talking about, particularly in the Mile High Miracle, he thought the ball had dropped on the ground that was caught on the right sideline by Bolden for a first down. Mm. And then he talked about Raheem Moore not making the play. And he says, that's his play. That's deep outside. He's got to be there. Kind of celebrate the moment for the Ravens here. And what Joe Flacco did a little bit is I'm thinking about. But the truth of the matter was, Dierdorf was an unbelievable, not only, understanding offensive line play, but his understanding of technical broadcasting was at a ridiculously high level. I have a cut of the 2000 AFC divisional games at Tennessee. I think he's doing the game with Enberg, and Enberg, he'll do the play by play, but he doesn't really handle the technical stuff. They go to commercial, and we're.
Didn't you know it's possible to get THC shipped right to your door? Mood delivers premium 100% federally legal THC directly to you. I'm talking about delicious high potency gummies, top shelf flower, home-baked cookies, vapes, anything you'd find at a dispensary, you can now order online and have it shipped quickly, discreetly, and conveniently right to your door. And every Mood product is made from pesticide-free cannabis grown on America's best small farms at prices that won't destroy your wallet. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code Ravens. So head to mood.com/Ravens, check out their online dispensary, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code Ravens when you check out to save 20% on your first order.
Access big savings every day, all in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Still hearing the sound from the booth, and you can hear they were talking to Bonnie Bernstein about going to some party and this and that. But anyway, at one point, it's right after the blocked kick is returned 90 yards by Anthony Mitchell, and Dierdorf he's like the technical director. All of a sudden, he's directing the truck. Okay, give me the L-22, bring it down to ground level. Let me see where he is. Zoom in on this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden they come back from commercial, and he goes Keith Williams, right? Keith Washington. Yeah. And Keith Washington loses his helmet, but he doesn't lose his head. It just immediately converts back to being a broadcaster. Tremendous respect hearing that, exchange there where, you don't think of the color guy as directing the truck, but he was really very good at that. So I really appreciated that.
Yeah. You always appreciate the folks who manage to bring something to the game, to the analysis of the game without you even realizing that they do it. So that's special. The reason we're here to talk about Laquan Williams is that he basically I think he has 4 receptions in his entire Ravens career and maybe 6 targets, and 3 of his targets came in this game and 2 of his receptions came in this game. The first of which was a reception on 3rd and 10 for 15. In the second quarter on a drive that eventually became a field goal. That was really crucial. But in this final drive, the drive that we remember for Torrey Smith getting redemption in the end zone, the drive that we remember for Anquan Boldin, making that catch on 4th and 1 on just an incredible gutsy call. Laquan Williams had a catch for 13 yards on 1st and 10 that took the Ravens to the 42. With 2 minutes remaining, and really helped them get out of their own end zone. And it was just remarkable.
Yeah. And that was definitely a big play for Williams. It was also 3 big plays for Bolden on that drive. One of them was to get them off their own goal line from their own 8-yard line after they had an incomplete pass. There was a completion of Bolden for about 20 that got them, you know, got them out of their own end zone. Might have been 21. Then the 4th-and-1 conversion, which was a really big one. And that play, the play before, they went to Williams, I believe, on 3rd-and-1, and Foote nearly intercepted the football. He had a pass defense and tipped the ball up in the air, and unfortunately it landed on the ground there.
Yeah, and actually that wasn't the only near interception in that drive. A pass to Ray Rice was nearly intercepted by Polamalu. Yeah, I think he had the speed to get there. I honestly just think he thought he didn't anticipate it. You know, he assumed that Ray Rice was going to catch it. At that point, Flacco to Rice was just like magic, you know, and really good. But what I really remember the most about this drive in particular is watching this game. I watched this game with my nephew, and so you know, it's just such a nail biter at that point. It's, you know, we're down 20-16. He's just like, oh my God, we're not gonna win this game, and he can't watch the drive. So he turns around and just stares at the couch, and
By the way,
my nephew is only 5 years younger than me. So at that point he was, he was in high school or maybe in late middle school, something like that. Okay. No, it would have been high school. Yeah. Cause I was in college. He was looking away, and all of a sudden we start like moving the ball. And then, so, you know, my nephew and my brother-in-law at that point, we're just like, okay, you need to keep staring at the couch. We're in our superstitious, like you have to keep staring at the couch. You know, we'll just rewind and rewatch the drive, whatever happens. So all of this happens. We're like freaking out, you know, cheering, you know, and then like our hearts are breaking when, like, you know, Flacco doesn't, you know, convert on 3rd-and-1. And then we're cheering again when Bolden, you know, makes the catch on 4th-and-1 and all that. And then I just remember, you know, we win the game. It's great. We go back and watch the drive. And then, you know, he's seeing all these, like, he sees like a pass to Laquan Williams on 1st-and-10. He's like, why are we passing to Laquan Williams at this point? And just remembering just like his disbelief that this like almost never used receiver was so heavily featured on a drive of such consequence. And, you know, it was out of some necessity given injuries and depth in the wide receiving core that year. But, you know, at the end of the day, Laquan Williams answered the call.
You know, there were two receivers from this era, and Williams is one of them. The other one is Tandon Doss, who Flacco really seemed to like and would go to them more often than you would otherwise think. And then Marcus Smith, he almost never went to. In fact, Marcus Smith never caught a ball for the Ravens. He had a famous pass interference call that he drew in the 2008 AFC Championship game. But Flacco had his favorites, definitely. And a whole lot of balls were fed through Pitter, Rice, Bolden, and Pitter, Rice, and Bolden primarily in those years.
Yep. And Smith. And he was actually responsible for Tandon Doss getting drafted. That was his guy. So, you know, I wish Flacco the best of luck in his future career, but I'm not sure that being a GM is going to be in his future. But but you know, it's funny, just, you know, a guy that made a couple plays for your team at a pivotal moment, and you can remember them forever.
You know, I think there are a lot of Ravens that fit into this category from over the years. Marcus Smith I mentioned already, but I just rewatched the 1996 opener. There's a pod out there from yesterday about it if you want to take a listen. But Ernest Hunter made the only grab of his Ravens career. One time. I don't know if he even had another grab with any other team, but a 23-yard reception on the game-winning drive in the Ravens opener. It's one of the most unknown players ever to make a really key catch for the Ravens. Billy Davis had 2 2nd-and-10 conversions against the Jaguars in the 2000 comeback on that final drive, on that game-winning drive. And then another big one that people often miss, give this to the wrong player, Frank Sanders. He only had 14 catches as a Raven, and one of them was the 44-yard tip off Marcus Robinson to him on the 4th-and-26 or 4th-and-28 play against the Seahawks during that comeback. So all these players, they just, you know, they just have that one moment is all they need in order to be remembered for a very long time by fans in this town.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember guys like Josh Wilson and Corey Graham who were here for a cup of coffee, and they made tremendous consequential plays in their time. And you just appreciate that.
Players. they really came in and saved the day, both of them, in terms of who the secondary was in the years they were here. And Josh Wilson in 2010 and Corey Graham in 2012. He played two seasons or just one season with the Ravens?
I think I believe that we re-signed him and he played at least one more season.
Okay. I know he was incredible, one of the really incredible value signings, and obviously had a huge impact on that Mile High Miracle game. But great that well, a really good choice. And this is kind of the format we want to follow for these shows, is to talk about a player and talk about some of the other stories that ran through their career. And obviously, we didn't talk exclusively about Laquan Williams in this. Laquan did some other good things for the Ravens. A really good special teams player, gunner and tackler. A guy certainly, you know, played more than that. Actually, surprisingly, had 100 snaps where he's on the field as a receiver in this season, which was surprisingly many to me. But you mentioned, you know, injuries had created some opportunity on this team.
For sure, yeah. I mean, you know, a name which should live in infamy in Baltimore is Lee Evans, who was injured for most of the 2011 season. And I think most of us remember how his Ravens career ended here. But he stepped in for Lee Evans for a good portion of the season, which was a season where the Ravens really thought that they'd figured their wide receiver room out. You know, to some extent, they were correct. I mean, they hit on Torrey Smith, but, you know, the addition of Jacoby Jones and his pivotal role in 2012, I think, was, you know, that third dimension that the Ravens receiver room really needed.
All right. Well, Slava, really appreciate you coming on and talking about Laquan with us. Tell folks where they can talk football with you.
I'm on Twitter at Slava Cooperstein. That's SlavaKuperstein.
All right. Other folks out there, if you're looking to do one of these as well, please hit me up. DMs are always open on Twitter. Tell me the player you want to talk about, and I'm sure we can come up we thought the discussion about Laquan Williams would only be about 10 minutes, but there are a number of offshoots of the Laquan Williams story that are not directly related to Laquan Williams that were worth discussing. But it can be 10 minutes, it can be 30 minutes, honestly. And the way I want you to think of it is come up with like three recollections about the player, and we'll kind of converse about those and maybe add one or two others. But really appreciate it. And other folks out there, please hit me up. I'll get right back to you and we'll get you on the list. Slava, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks for having me on, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger, and you can get started now by saving when you join today. We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need, and you can work out your way on your time at any convenient location near you. Most open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save. Just $1 down, $15 a month. See Home Club for details.